the most adventurous places in America to live. Let's talk about that.
You are about to hear the opinions, suggestions, and observations of a licensed real estate broker in California. Since each situation can be unique, do not consider anything said here as legal advice for your specific needs. Always seek out the advice of a suitable professional in your area for advice tailored to your situation. Please remember that when following advice, your results may vary. Please also understand that the information provided here is not intended to cover all aspects of the subject material, but rather a sample of issues the speaker considers important.
What do you seem to understand? I'm not locked in here with you.
That's it! You're locked in here with me!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Real Estate Realities with the Rebel Broker. My name is Robert Whitelaw, and I am the Rebel Broker. Licensed real estate broker in the state of California, member of the National Association of Realtors. Once again, exploring all the aspects of just real estate, achieving those goals, making things happen. Came across an interesting article from Outside Magazine. Their little catchphrase is live bravely. So they came out with the 16 best places to live from an adventure standpoint. I thought we would sort of blend together that list with reasons why, right? So if you're someone who just wants to find out about the most adventurous places to live and what makes them adventurous, great. Maybe you'll find a new home on this list. If you are a seller in one of these areas, maybe this information will be great for you to include in your listing, or your agent can make it part of your marketing strategy. That's always a great thing to do. Figure out the main reasons why someone would want to live in the town you're in. And from an investor standpoint, maybe you want to blend your vacation interests with an income potential type thing. So we'll go ahead and jump through here, and who knows, some of these towns might make great investments in terms of having something like I did in Hawaii, where you could purchase it, plan on using it X amount of time out of the year and renting it the rest of the year to offset your expenses or to possibly pay for the place entirely. As I said, it was super easy to get the second or vacation home loan, and at rates that were as good as if I was buying a primary residence. So it might be a great way for us to blend all this stuff together and maybe have some fun doing it. So let's go ahead and jump in here. We'll start with number 16, Lake Placid, New York. Some of the highlights here for Lake Placid, New York are it was the site of the Winter Games in 1980 and 1932. It's only got about 2,500 folks living there, but it's apparently got an awful lot of different athletic draws to it. Let's see. So some of the draws of Lake Placid, let's see, aside from what I've just mentioned there in terms of the Olympic cool stuff. Of course, there's the Olympic Training Center is there. Mountain biking is big. You can head over to Logger's Loop, which is right in town, or you can go to Whiteface Mountain. There's also some other areas we're going to cover here in a second. Sports fishing is popular with bass or pike on Saranac Lake. Free concerts on the bandstand on Main Street. And there is there's apparently plenty of different areas, different lakes in the area, including Mirror Lake. And in addition to that, one of the things that's listed is Mirror Lake is obviously listed. Mount Joe is listed in terms of having a great place for hiking, that type of thing. Water sports are listed as a big draw. Olympic ski jump complex for folks to take a look. Bobsled and luge complex. Saratoga Olive Oil, specialty and gift shops, Brewster Peninsula Nature Trail, John Brown Farm State Historic Site, and plenty of gear rentals for boats, skis, and everything else depending on the season. So what's great about a place like this is, Tahoe, for instance, out here on the West Coast is a tough one because most folks go to Tahoe for skiing, so it tends to be a seasonal thing. Now, while Lake Placid has tons of snow stuff, it also has an awful lot of cool things to do in the non-winter months. So it's potentially got a place for you to go and enjoy yourself, but then also be able to rent it at off times of the year if you're properly marketing it to the right kinds of folks who would enjoy that kind of thing as a vacation rental. For you to use it if you're the investor-minded type person. If you're someone who – and, you know, and this is something for buyers to think about. We're moving further and further into a world where you are doesn't matter a whole lot for your job. Now, I realize that's not the majority of the folks. I'm a little bit biased because I'm right here in Silicon Valley. But I have served quite a few clients over the last couple of years who are moving out of California and they're not changing their job. They are moving to the only requirement is they move to a location where there's broadband internet. And these are folks who are, for all intents and purposes, doing their job completely remotely. I think the worst I heard was someone who was going to be moving and then they'd have to fly back once a week at first, and then it would taper off to no less than once a month for maybe a day or two. But even that was totally tolerable for this person. They were able to ditch California taxes in terms of California is an income tax state. So they could – I think they were going to Nevada, so there would be – or was it Texas? I can't remember which. But it was there was going to be no personal income tax for them. So it ended up being a great deal. So if you're somebody who's in a position where you can either sort of slouch towards a position like that, these would be great places for you to consider to go if you've got some exciting things you like to do in your spare time. Now, that was number 16. Number 15 is Bar Harbor, Maine. Now, Bar Harbor is going to be great for the folks who like to spend a little bit more time near an ocean, clearly. One of the big things that they have going on there is the lobster season. And the season for Bar Harbor is basically from June to August, and that's when the population gets gigantic. It tends to be locals only. There's about 2,600 folks who live in the town year-round. 2 million visitors pour into the Acadia National Park nearby, and second homeowners summer at the beachside cottages there pretty regularly. Now, Acadia has 127 miles of hiking trails, 1,530-foot Cadillac Mountain, which is the highest peak on the Atlantic seaboard, and sailing is a big deal, and you can go out there on a sailboat or in a kayak, and you'll find yourself joined by seals and porpoises and osprey. What's interesting about this particular location is prices, from my perspective, are actually pretty reasonable. When I tell you the number, it may not sound so reasonable to you, but the and they mention here in one of these things I'm looking at relating to the location is that the home prices are about 70% higher than elsewhere in Maine, but that only brings it up to $292,000. And they obviously will have some the full range of prices that we see in all other types of markets, but for that to be the average, that's pretty awesome. Lobster, again, is big. National parks are big. Is that what they call it? Climbing cliffs? Rock climbing, I guess, is what they call it. Plenty of tours depending on what you want to see, whether it's wildlife on the water or in the parks. Whale watching and boat tours are a big thing, hiking and walking. There's the Shore Path Trail, Meadow Walk, mountain climbs, and paths along streams and lakes. Kayaking is also big. So anyone who's interested in more of the waterborne life for fun, this would be a great location for you. So whether you're looking to buy, sell, or invest, if this is some kind of thing that sounds good to you, there are plenty of opportunities here that might tend more towards the seasonal, maybe the time when you'd actually want to use it. But you know what? Some of the best places to visit are some of the best times. I don't know why I'm so tongue-tied today. Some of the best times to visit some of these more popular locations is in the off-season to enjoy what it has to offer when there aren't millions of other people elbow-to-elbow trying to enjoy the location themselves. Bar Harbor also has two music festivals, ranging from string orchestras through chamber music to jazz. In the far as nightlife is concerned, bars and clubs have a range of bands and solo artists, and improvisational comedy theater is also apparently a big thing downtown. So that's what Bar Harbor has to offer. Let's check the next one here. Rochester, Minnesota. Now, Rochester makes this list in kind of an interesting way. Apparently back in 1978, there was a ridiculous amount of rainfall coming out to 1 inch per hour over the course of 6 hours. And it ended up flooding the entire town, which ended up with a flood control project, which took 20 years to get finished. And once it was done, they ended up with a series of channels that go through all through downtown. So it's got sort of a water walk sort of a thing with all these various channels going through town, which gave us 10 miles. Wow. What is wrong with my brain? 10 miles of bike and pedestrian trails. And those trails are now the epicenter of an 85-mile paved system that radiates out from the world-renowned Mayo Clinic downtown to lakes, green spaces, concert venues, restaurants, and bars. Silver Lake is also nearby, which has the Rochester Rowing Club, where geese migrate. Quarry Hill Nature Center, a 320-acre preserve with 5 miles of hiking trails. There's, of course, the Mayo Clinic, which we mentioned. There's the Mayowood Mansion, the former home of a Mayo Clinic founder, is open for tours 4 days a week. And the neighborhood bistro with a patio on the Zumbro River. So it's one. It sounds to me a little bit like the Riverwalk area, and I think that's – is that in San Antonio where it has the Riverwalk in Texas? And that's great stuff. So this is the kind of thing that might be able to draw more folks in a broader way across the – across – throughout the year. So not so much just limited to a seasonal type of a draw. Let's see. Next, number 13, Annapolis, Maryland. Now, Annapolis kind of appeals to the investor side of me simply because it's a larger town. It has about 39,000 residents. It's the home to the Naval Academy. And that spells – and there's a military presence. So there's going to be people coming and going, but it means jobs, right? So you're going to see that in a situation like this, it's going to be a year-round type of thing. You're going to get a little bit more stability. It might add a little bit more of a comfort zone for folks who are interested in potentially getting into investing but aren't really ready to focus on an area where things might be a little bit too seasonal for someone who's looking to actually cover everything that they're spending on a investment property or on a vacation property. Some great things about Annapolis. Obviously, the Naval Academy is located there. Every Wednesday of the week during the summer, they have sailboat races with more than 100 boats in the harbor at a time. So if you're a sailor, this is clearly a great town to put yourself in. Kayakers and paddleboarders go up Spa Creek. On land, they've got the 3-mile trail to the Old Navy radio transmission towers at Greenberry Point. Great news about home buying there. Now, this may not be great news for everyone across the country, but you can get a Bayview home for under $400,000. And as I mentioned, the job prospects in this town actually look pretty good. It's a decent sized town. And I think I mentioned it had 39,000 residents. So it's a good option if it's in your area. If you are the type of person who is either interested in vacationing in something like this or making something like this an investment, I think this is a good starter place. So if you're within a decent distance, I know a lot of folks, when they first do their first investment, they'd like it to be within a reasonable distance, just from a management standpoint. So this could be a great opportunity for someone who's within reasonable distance of Annapolis, Maryland. Now, number 12, Spearfish, South Dakota. Now, Spearfish has average home prices of about $205,000, according to the numbers I'm seeing in Trulia. What's great about Spearfish is that it's the exception to what tends to be an exceptionally flat South Dakota. The Black Hills sort of surround Deerfish. This is a town of about 11,000 people. It has cliff walls for cragging, streams teeming with flat brown or fat browns. They also host a 48-mile, mostly single-track run that starts in downtown on Sunday and Labor Day weekend, and that's called the Dakota 5-0. The 28 Below Fat Bike Race each March. Whether it's raining, snowing, or muddy, it's a 28-mile lollipop loop, climbs 2,700 feet toward the Cement Ridge Fire Lookout on a groomed snowmobile trail. And then in June, they have the Gold Rush Gravel Grinder, and that's a 210-mile option, takes you deep into the darkness, according to the organizers of that one. There's also a Spirit of the Hills Wildlife Sanctuary, and a great recreation and aquatic center there in town. So if that's something that floats your boat, that might be a little bit more attractive for you. And I again, something like this that's off from what's normal for the area, right? So since this is a, tends to be a flatter state, this is these are the hills. I know the Black Hills are a beautiful part of the country. I've been through there a few times myself. So if you're in that part of the country, this could be a great opportunity for you. So you could mix – maybe you take a quick vacation, a driving vacation with the family to check this town out, see what you think. Maybe it makes sense for you to make it your first investment location, or maybe it makes sense for you to move there yourself. Now, for those of you who've listened to my other shows about investments, what to look for, what kinds of things I make as a standard part of pretty much anything I look for, this town has got a college in it. So I'm always a big fan of investment properties that are in towns with colleges or universities. I just think it tends to strengthen your position as someone who might have a rental property there. It also tends to make those places a little bit more interesting. You've got college kids running around doing what college kids do, and that tends to make towns a little bit more interesting. Middlebury is also home to the 37-mile Tour de Farms bike ride, and that includes pits – and it's my kind of bike ride. It includes 18 pit stops at different agricultural spreads for donuts and apple cider. So there's no better way to quote-unquote get your exercise than stopping 18 times for donuts and apple cider. I think that's a great time. In this location, you can also find three-bedroom homes with a chicken coop out back for under $300,000. And jobs in this community are actually pretty abundant. So in terms of also finding a place that has a healthy economy to support a rental population, this might be a good place to get that done. According to one article I found, Woodchuck Hard Cider, for example, opened a $30 million headquarters there. Let's see, still has that rural feel though, despite the fact that it's got a really strong economy. In the summer, there's rowing at Lake Dunmore, run the trail around Middlebury, 16 miles of single track that loop the town. In the winter, you can head out to the college-owned Middlebury Snow Bowl to race in Friday afternoon's Ski Bum League. So that's kind of a fun mix of things to do, and it sounds like you get a little bit more of a year-round vibe here as well. So that's also a bonus. Number 10 on the hit parade, Boone, North Carolina. This one's sort of a – it's got a lot of different things, but I think primarily if it's somebody who's going to be interested in biking, mountain biking, that type of thing. Let's see. It's near the Southern Appalachians. It's also a college town. That's really kind of all it has going on really. So in terms of having some other draw or other robust economy sort of supporting it, that's not really present as it has been with some of the other examples we've seen. It has class 5 boating on Wilson's Creek, 45 minutes outside of the Linville Gorge, one of the most dramatic canyons east of the Rocky Mountains. It has more than 11,000 acres of wilderness backpacking and endless trails for trad climbing. Beach Mountain offers some of the only lift-served mountain biking in the South. And a choice section of the Appalachian Trail runs across a series of above tree-lined peaks that are just 40 minutes from downtown. And then there's also cycling on the Blue Ridge Parkway. So this would be something you'd absolutely market towards towards mountain bikers or bikers in general, since it does have both. It has the mountain, the rough trail type thing, but it's also got paved cycling as well. Population of the vacation homes in this area has the median price up at around $281,000. For a home. The median age in the town is only 22 years old. So clearly the folks who are there just for college are dominating the general population. So that might be good for you. Maybe this isn't such a fantastic investment possibility just because I'd be worried about the seasonality of it and whether or not that would be something that would work out. But if you're absolutely interested in that lifestyle, it sure does sound like a great place for the biker crowd. Next on the hit parade at number 9 is Pagosa Springs, Colorado. I've kind of got a soft spot for Colorado. You know, anything that's – I love the idea of living near the mountains. So for me, Colorado's got a big draw. I know whenever I'm looking for a place to vacation myself that includes that kind of thing, a lot of mountain activities, those types of things, Colorado's really one of my go-to places in terms of the search. The Pagosa Springs is located – just next to the San Juan Mountains. Definitely a older town. It has a historic downtown with storefronts for a brewery, restaurants, and an old movie theater that they supported through a crowdfunding campaign. I'm not real sure if that is encouraging or not encouraging. The namesake springs, the deepest in the world, attract 500,000 annual visitors to this corner of the state. And the, well, kind of interestingly, the hot water springs are used to run beneath the sidewalks so that it melts the snow in the winter. Most folks live outside of town, and the county overall has 12,000 residents. One person who lives there, though, says, don't come here if you want nightlife. It's not that kind of town. The median price on a home is $227,000, but there's a really good variety of activities that are available in the area. Everything, most of the jobs in the area are focused on tourism. So this is a town that's sort of built on the idea of people coming to visit. And, you know, if as long as that appeal is there and people want to do it, I'm not against a town that really kind of has that one-trick pony in terms of why people go to that town. I personally feel more comfortable when it's got a more diverse economy. But I didn't even follow that advice in my Hawaii property. There's absolutely nothing where my property in Hawaii is. But what Hawaii has to offer, and it being such a popular destination spot for everyone around the world, it made sense. So it would be up to you to sort of go here, check it out, see if you think that its tourism appeal overwhelms other things that you might want to have on your checklist when you're evaluating an investment property. They've got backpacking, hiking, fishing in the $500,000 acre Weminuchi Wilderness, kayaking on the San Juan River, ski at powder destination Wolf Creek, and you'll never have to battle crowds is one of the big pops there. That kind of concerns me. When you're, if you're doing this as an investment, you do like to have times when there's crowds because those are the crowds that are going to potentially rent your property. But again, if you go and try it for yourself and decide you really love it, it could be an opportunity for you to get a vacation property going and make it work for you. Next on our list, Beaufort, South Carolina. Now, Beaufort is primarily a water town. It's surrounded by water on just about all sides. So it's big for paddlers and fishermen with over 1 million acres of to explore that's either waterside, waterfront, or even salt marshes. So there's a lot of variety in that aspect of things if that's something that you're very much interested in. Everything from the Atlantic Ocean all to these inland type inland waterways. Sea kayakers can play with dolphins before beaching on the white sands of Huntington Island State Park. Now, the city itself, this article compares it to sort of a coastal Gone with the Wind type of thing. And in a quick look at the Department of Tourism for this particular town, they've got a lot of historical type appeal. The town's been around forever. Lots of seafood, fresh catch from local markets is a pretty common thing. What's great is you can – now this is going to be a town where you're going to get those sorts of activities. It's definitely going to be a destination for those kinds of folks. But you can also get into this in a median home price of $253,000. And that actually sounds pretty good. Some of the other things that were listed at the Welcome to Beaufort page were – river tours, dolphin watch. Apparently, they have a pretty thriving art community, and the rest of it seems to be golf and fish. So, if that's your thing, this could make it onto your list of places you might want to visit. Next on the list, number 7, Flagstaff, Arizona. I have mentioned Flagstaff before on the show. This is absolutely on my short list of places to check out. When you say Flagstaff, Arizona to people, I don't think they get the Flagstaff part, but they sure do hear the Arizona part. And they're all, wow, who wants to live in a desert and it's so hot? That is not Flagstaff, Arizona. There is no scorching heat. There are no people escaping the snow coming to Flagstaff, Arizona. Now, it started off as a railroad town, and it's got 69,000 people living in it. It's got 12,000-foot mountains on almost all sides of it. Gigantic ponderosa pine forest. I think it's – according to this, it's the largest pine forest in the world. Defying all the state stereotypes. So don't think retirement community. Don't think all the typical Phoenix, Arizona type things you might be thinking. But this particular community is at 7,000 feet above sea level. Now, the big draws of Flagstaff are going to be for runners, the altitude with the thinner air. A lot of folks like to train at the higher altitude, so it'd be a big-time thing for runners. Also big with mountain bikers. There's just ridiculous numbers of trails there. I may actually do a show just on Flagstaff, as I plan to make a road trip there sometime within the next few months. It's absolutely on my – it's one of the communities that I have in my search. So as when I search for properties in different areas, I use Realtor.com. So I have searches running in Flagstaff, Arizona. I have searches running in some of the surrounding areas around Denver, Colorado. I also have searches running in certain parts of Texas, typically in the Austin area, north and west of Austin. I like to be near the lakes. So that's where I run my searches. And this is another one. This is another college town. So it's going to be a little bit more of a dynamic kind of a town. Median home prices is pretty reasonable at $266,000. So it's not a horrible barrier to getting in there and making things happen. And since you've got a college town going on here, it gives you a little bit more than just renting to vacationers as a possibility. If you want to do longer term rentals, it lets you kind of have a little bit more flexibility. It's also a little bit cheaper. Remember, if you're doing a vacation rental, that thing's got to be furnished. It's got to have everything that it needs for someone to do what they do, including refrigerators and coffee makers and all these other types of things. So just keep that in mind when you're trying to decide how you want to make your approach to the potential for investments. Let's see. One of the other things that they offer is a very strong community of professional coaches. So you'll find there's a very big community of folks who are into the things we've mentioned, the biking and the running and those types of things. And it's a very big location for folks who are professional coaches. So it's another aspect to the community that's kind of enticing. And all of that type of activity stuff really sort of runs all the way through the community. There's the top few things here that are listed by TripAdvisor to do in Flagstaff include Flagstaff Extreme, a lot of rope bridges, hiking, those types of things, some sort of bordering on the extreme sport kind of stuff, Walnut Canyon National Monument, lots of river rafting and tubing opportunities, the Wupatki National Monument, which is Indian community that's being researched there. Coconino National Forest, Lowell Observatory, hiking and camping tours. I'm sold on Flagstaff, so I'm clearly going to be biased in this. But if you're someone who's looking to invest in a location based on these kinds of things, where it's a destination, where you want to provide something for someone who enjoys what the place has to offer, right? Remember when in previous shows where we've talked about evaluating investment properties, what's the draw? What's the top reason why someone would go to visit this place and then make your property just great for that? So lots of variation here in terms of – it's not a one-trick pony. There's a lot of different things that would be attractive to people, ranging from the hiking, the biking, the running, and all these and whitewater rafting, all these other things. There's a lot to do in Flagstaff. So it's just, you know, I get it. I'm biased. But if you're in the area, if you're someone who's interested in that kind of property, I think Flagstaff is absolutely a great choice for you, just hands down. And I think it makes total sense that it made it to the top 10 on this list of adventurous towns to consider. Coming in at number 6 on our list is Athens, Georgia. It's known for its party scene and biking on endless farm roads. It's a city of 121,000. It's also become an outpost of world-class foodies. Combine the best of the South with an adventurous farm fresh ethos, according to this. White Tiger Gourmet, a barbecue joint where vegetarian dishes get equal billing with pulled pork, is a good example. And one of the things that makes Athens kind of attractive is so far it's one of the most affordable areas that we've covered so far. The average price of $129,500 makes it one of the lowest barriers to being able to make this a potential investment. And if you get a property in the right location with the right sort of amenities for someone who wants to enjoy what the area has to offer, you could absolutely turn that into a pretty good investment. Just doing a quick look at the past here, it bottomed out in 2013 in February at $116,000, and now we're up to about we're up to $129,000, and it's projected in 2016 to get up to $133,000. So still very reasonable. It absolutely has not come anywhere near its peak in 2006 of $141,000. So overall, it looks like a pretty good opportunity in terms of potentially jumping in, starting off with something that doesn't break the bank, and being able to have not only a great investment property, but also a property that you can use as a vacation if it's something that you like to do. All right, next on our list, Glenwood Springs, Colorado. So that's twice that we've had a Colorado location on our list, and I think both of them were in the top 10. Glenwood Springs is, all about kayaks, trailers stacked with rafts, teenagers with inner tubes. It's a river town. The Colorado and the Roaring Fork both meet right in the town, so that's pretty much what gives it its broad appeal. The Grizzly and Shoshone, locals gather with coolers and beer at put-ins like Grizzly Creek and Shoshone to raft Class 3 rapids. There's also flat water options for folks who aren't into the aggressive stuff, and that's something whenever you're appealing to tourism, it's good to have stuff that's not just extreme. You want to have that broad thing so that you can also cater to folks who are maybe into it at a gentler pace. Paddle boaters, and kayakers hit the Whitewater Park, and fishermen cast for trout on the Roaring Fork in town. Getting into the business here, or getting into the market in Glenwood, Springs, it's going to be a little bit pricier than some of our other options. The average home price is $385,400. Let's see, they hit their peak in April of 2008 with $460,000 as the average price, and their lowest point was in January of 2012 at $262,000. So there's been a lot of growth. But again, if this is one of those folks where you're really jazzed to take advantage of what it has to offer, the White River National Forest is right there. So absolutely an opportunity, but maybe not for someone who's just jumping right in to start off. A little bit of a price barrier there. Next, number four, Eau Claire, Wisconsin. This is another riverside city of 68,000. Lots of family activities with, again, tubing and cyclists. There's also a 30-mile trail run system in the town. It also has a very robust music scene, so a little bit like Austin in that way. The average list price for a house in Eau Claire is $199,272, but the median sales price is $143,500. That's all up, and it's been generally the same trend as we've seen with real estate in general over the last couple of years, so there's nothing crazy there. Number three on the hit parade is Iowa City, Iowa, and unlike other locations where they've all boasted sort of mountains, those types of things, Iowa City is flat, as most of the state is. Just about all of the state is. Now, it's got a 72,000 population, which is good. So it's got a bigger community sort of underpinning it. It has a university with over 30,000 students, which is also good. It has a bike crazy culture. The median home price is $178,000, which is great because it can get you into some great properties in the area. What's also great, and this is probably one of the big tippers for me, is the local economy is very healthy. Unemployment rate is only 2.3%. The University of Iowa, the corporations like Oral-B and Procter & Gamble kind of support that and keep that going. So you've got backup plans that you can potentially embrace. You can absolutely go out there and put out ads, and if you're into biking yourself, this could be a great community for you. But you're not going to be doing it on mountains. It's all going to be flat biking. But that's its big thing. It's all about bikes. And if you want to make it a draw for folks who want to come here for a vacation to do that, that may not fly quite as well. But the lifestyle is all about biking. So if you can't manage to turn this into or convert this into a great vacation rental style thing, if it's something you're interested in, but you're also interested in not staying there all the time, it might be a great place because of the economy for you to do long-term rentals. And that's also a better way to start, simply because you don't have to finance that. You simply just rent it, and then your renters bring their own furniture and work things that way. Number two on our list, Port Angeles, Washington. I've actually been to Port Angeles. I was actually looking at a community called Squim, Washington, that's just a little ways off. Now, hands down, the number one reason why anyone would want to go to Port Angeles is going to be the Olympic National Park. The Olympic National Park is gigantic. And that's what it's going to be about. It's going to be about camping. It's going to be about hiking. It can also be about boating and whatnot. But that water's freezing, just so you know. It's up on the northern edge of the state. One thing that's interesting is because of the mountains from the Olympic National Park, what you'll find is they call it the rain shadow that goes from Port Angeles and also to Squim, the town that I was looking at. And basically, you don't get as much rain as the rest of the state does. Now, it's still a very wet. It still gets plenty of rain, but it's quite a bit less than it is in other communities. So if you're someone who's always ignored this part of the country because you just don't like the idea of being rained all the time, this is actually a good place to consider. Now, at the time I was looking, I was living in a little town called Aptos in California, and I found that Aptos got more rain than Squim did and Port Angeles. Sorry, did I say Port Townsend before? There's also another town along the same coast called Port Townsend, which is further east. That's also beautiful. I actually am kind of surprised Port Townsend. If this made it, I'm kind of surprised Port Townsend didn't make it because I actually like Port Townsend a lot. It's considered the only Victorian city on the West Coast, and it's absolutely beautiful. If you're into architecture and you want to go visit Port Angeles, do a road trip over to Port Townsend and check it out. Some of the coolest architecture, particularly early 20th, late 19th century architecture that I've ever seen on this coast. So just a little side benefit for you. Now, Port Angeles has a population of about 19,000. When I visited, it was in deep doo-doo. They had a lot of trouble. It was a big logging town. It still is apparently a logging town. But they were running into some trouble. And that's apparently worked through. The economy has kind of recovered there. And a lot of what they get is folks coming to visit the national park. Some other things that it gives you that you might not associate with the park is a lot of lakes, really amazing old growth forests. It's really an amazing thing to see. Aside from looking for places to potentially invest, this would be a great place, I think, to live if you're someone who just really loves getting into nature and getting into it and feeling like you're out in the middle of nowhere while you're only about 20 minutes away from town. The peaks rise to 5,000 feet just within a few miles of the coast, giving you some amazing views. And this is firsthand experience. I've actually been up there, so I've seen this stuff. It really is amazing. And if it's something you haven't experienced, I think you should. It's absolutely worth the trip. Let's see. There's no smog. There's no traffic. I landed in Seattle and had to take a ferry to get across to get where I needed to go, or I could have taken the really long way around through the south. Local culture is built on an appreciation of the outdoors, which makes complete sense. The economy is boosted by adventure travelers, and this is an adventure destination. I mean, there's some very cool, challenging, amazing things. Mountain biking has also started to take hold in the community. But again, because it's right there on the water, sea kayaking, boating, those types of things, all very much a part of the fabric of what makes the town interesting. Of course, it's also, since it's right on the water, there's commercial fishing for halibut and crab. But it's a great town. I actually like the town quite a bit. The average home price is $201,000, which is actually less than what it was when I visited. I visited before everything went nuts. And even despite the fact they were having some challenges with the logging industry, home prices were actually higher than that when I went and looked. All right, number one on our list, Chattanooga, Tennessee. And I got to say, I understand why this one is on the list. It almost makes me want to go and visit Chattanooga. I've never been to Chattanooga. I've been through Tennessee, but never to Chattanooga. So it's sort of creeping up on my list of potential places to go. And let me explain why. So we've got this great adventure thing. There's a big mountain biking community there. A lot of adventure stuff. They have an enduro series there. They're up to 120 miles on their track. And they've got a lot of surrounding stuff that's just cool. They've got the Tennessee River, so you can get a bunch of class 4 and class 5 rapids on the nearby Okie, I don't know how you'd pronounce it, Ocoee River. But and that's all great stuff, but it's the other side of it. It's the underpinning. Now they're starting to think of Chattanooga as a Silicon Valley. It's gotten a huge level of popularity. This is a town I've actually heard of from folks leaving Silicon Valley to go move to that area. It's a town of 173,000. So a very robust underpinning of population, right near the Rocky Tennessee River Gorge. And from an adventure standpoint, it's got everything. But from the flip side of it, they also got 1 gigabit per second fiber optic internet services in 2010. And that was a huge draw. Those kinds of speeds are wacky. You can download a feature length movie in about 30 seconds. So, I mean, we're talking super fast speeds here. It showed that the local community was dedicated to developing business because it was built by the city. And it has drawn in a huge startup scene. So you get this sort of adventure, biking, rafting, outdoor hiking thing going on with lots of different options of cool things to do. But you've also got it built up with this high-tech vibe where you've got a diverse adventure hub where people go to have a good time. But then you've also got these great high-tech growth businesses starting here that make it a great place to think about. And what's even more amazing is the median price of a home here is $138,000. Now, no matter how you work things out, I mean, if we just completely take the adventure side out of this, this is exactly the kind of community that you're looking for when you want to make a good investment in real estate. The fact that you've got the adventure thing going on is just an absolute bonus. But the fact that you've got such a strong local economy, you've got a very robust population, and you've got a lot of cool things that have popped up, this seems like the kind of place that's only going to grow from here. So it made the top of their list. It makes absolutely the top of my list in terms of all the boxes I'd want to check off that make this sound like a really great place to potentially see some growth or to make a wise investment in a property that you could either live in and start have your career be there yourself or have it be a potential investment, whether it's adventure-based or not. You could make it part of that if you wanted to, I suppose. But it seems to me this would be a great place to shop just for something to rent out to local folks working at some great startup high-tech firm. If you want to get sort of a broad idea of the cool things to do in Chattanooga, there's a website called ChattanoogaFun.com that's, I believe, put out by probably the Chamber of Commerce or something. But they've got great stuff. I mean, I was just sort of browsing through it, and it really depends on what your personal interest is. Of course, there's the adventure stuff we talked about, and that was the point of the article, was towns for folks who want to get out there and do the extreme sports or whatever they're into. But there's also a ton of other just cool stuff. Chattanooga has a great history. I'm a bit of a history nerd, so that attracts me as well. They've got double-decker bus, riverboats, walking or ghost tours. They've got boutique shopping, Tennessee's largest shopping complex called Warehouse Row. You know, I think I've been there. Have I been to Chattanooga? That building looks familiar. Anyway, Chattanooga was one of the most important cities to control during the Civil War. So there's got some strong history there. Riverboats take passengers from downtown Chattanooga into Tennessee River Gorge. Named best town ever by Outside Magazine. They're advertising that here in terms of rafting and other types of attractions. What else? Anything else sexy that I want to share? Who? Lots of art museums, music and galleries. So a lot of different things you can do here. And they have some great 1 to 7 day suggestions for itineraries, whether you're a couple or whether it's for the family. So take a look at it. I think it's a great option. It's definitely sort of lit a fire under me to go take a look at Chattanooga and see what it has to offer. I'm not so sure about the weather. I mean, I'm not a big humid weather kind of guy, but I can go see it and see what I think. So I hope that you have gotten your gears turning. If you live in one of these areas or near one of these areas, I hope maybe we've hit on something that you might be interested in pursuing, or at least an area you might consider exploring as either something that would offer you something you like to do, or maybe it's even sort of lit a fire under you to consider that first real estate investment. And given the price point for Chattanooga, that's nearly the lowest barrier to entry we've seen all through all of these 16 locations. And hands down, I think Chattanooga wins in terms of satisfying my backup plan mentality when it comes to investing and having a community that will offer me alternatives in terms of not just catering to adventure types, but also just renting to folks who want to live in that town. All right, folks, that's it for today. I thank you for listening. If you would do me the great honor of heading over to iTunes and subscribing if you're not already subscribing. And if you are a subscriber, or even if you're not, if you could head on over there and give the show a review, I would be forever in your debt. That's the best way to keep the show alive, so to speak. And if you'd like to get in contact with me, make suggestions for what kind of topics we should cover on the show, and I'd love for folks to communicate with me, share with me the scariest things that you face in real estate or in whatever you're trying to achieve. I want those success stories. I want those failures so that we can all learn from them. But I'd also like to find out the things that you're worried about most so that we can find answers for those so they become less of a worry. So you can head on over to www.therebelbroker.com. You can contact me via email. You'll find my Twitter feed. I think I also have a thing going on Google+. And that's it. Talk to y'all on Monday. I hope you have a great weekend.